You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
A very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to another brand new edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I'm your host, Hende, coming to you live from our studio in Windhoek. Usually until 8 p.m., but today we have a shortened program as we have a special interview lined up following me today at 7 p.m. That is with the IPC president coming to you at 7 p.m. So today we only have about an hour on the show on the Eagle Sports Zone. So we're going to keep it short and sweet today. And today we're going to talk about, we're going to have our ongoing discussion that we have basically almost every day here on the Eagle Sports Zone, and that is sport as a business. And so we're going to have this conversation on the backdrop of a conversation that I will share with you in just a few moments, conducted by some gentlemen from Bloomberg. But before we get into that, you are tuned into your number one talk radio station. And as always, if you haven't downloaded the Eagle FM mobile application yet, go over to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, type in Eagle FM Namibia, and you will be able to download our wonderful application for a total cost of $0.00. Free for you to download. With this application, you can listen to your favorite talk radio station wherever you are in the entire world. So, you know, if you happen to be going to Angola, if you happen to be going to South Africa, if you happen to be going to the UK, you happen to be going to Australia, maybe you're going to Russia, maybe you're going to the USA, maybe you're going to Brazil, fear not, you will have no reason to miss out on your number one talk radio station, because you will have the Eagle FM mobile application right in the palm of your hands, and you can listen to us wherever you are on the go. Alternatively, you can also go to the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na, and you'll be able to listen to Eagle FM again from wherever you are in the world. And the website, just like the mobile application, if you happen to have missed a particular broadcast, maybe you are busy, for whatever reason you weren't able to tune in to your favorite program live, we have every single broadcast is available to you in a podcast format, meaning if you go on the Eagle FM website, click on the podcast tab. If you go on the Eagle FM mobile application, click on the podcast tab, and you'll have access to last week's episode of the Eagle Sports Zone, last month's episode of the Eagle Sports Zone, episodes from last year as well. We're coming up on 1 year of the Eagle Sports Zone. Almost 12 months we've been doing the show. So if you'd like to go back to the very beginning, simply go to the podcast section of the Eagle FM website or the Eagle FM mobile application, and you can do that for any show, not just this one. So, you know, if you missed the home run, there's a particular business and economic segment you want to see, maybe unpacking the day, there's a particular one you want to see, fear not, it is all available for you there. And another great feature of the Eagle FM mobile application, if you're using it, and you know, maybe you forget our studio number, which is 0832888401, there's a call button for you there, so you can call directly from the app and you'll be able to tune in. And if you want to call in today to answer our question of the day, today our question of the day is, can you estimate how much the South African sports industry contributes to their economy? Can you call in with an estimate? There's a range of numbers, you know. So the number in the studio is 0832888401. The question of the day is, can you estimate or can you guess how much the South African sports industry brings in on a yearly basis? And so before we get to that, we will run through some local sports news. We have, first and foremost, rounds 2 and 3 of the Namibian Premier League kicked off, or took place this weekend rather. And we'll start with the week 2 results, where we had Commerce Nampol drawing 3-3 with the newly promoted Rundu Chiefs. Okahandja United beating Life Fighters 3-0. African Stars, defending champions, beating Julinho Athletic 2-0 to continue their 100% start to the season. And we had Blue Waters and Ongos playing to a 0-0 draw. Similarly, Young African and KK Palace also played to a 0-0 draw. Another draw was between 11 Arrows and UNAM FC. That was 1-1. And Ishoke Chula Chula beating Tigers 2-0. And the week 3 fixtures, which are, most of which are happening right now, but those that finished, we have KK Palace beating Tigers. 1-0. So a tough weekend for Tigers. Two matches, two losses there. And then we have Blue Waters and UNAM FC playing to a 0-0 draw. And according to my trusted sources, some second half results, we have Bucks, Buccaneers and Life Fighters currently at 1-0. And then we also have Okanja United and Mighty Gunners playing currently 0-0. And African Stars, Rundu Chiefs actually in the lead against African Stars 1-0. And Chula Chula and Young African 0-0 at the moment. And FC Ongos are currently in the lead 2-0 against 11 Arrows. Once those full-time results, come in, of course I will be able to update you and keep you informed on the latest in Namibian football. I'm sure the Rundu Chiefs supporters will be very happy if the scoreline stays as it is. Would be a big result for the newly promoted side from the Northeast. So now, you know, today we have to kind of speed through things today. As I said, we only have an hour on the show. We will go to our new segment that we introduced last week. And that is
Across Africa, sports unite us. From Lagos to Lusaka, from Cairo to Cape Town, we are one. This is the Pan-African Sports segment, live on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yes, that is the Pan-African Sports segment coming to you live on Eagle FM. And our first story, which we will get into on the other side of this commercial break, once we hear from our friends from IMBA, we'll get into the Pan-African Sports segment. We will be right back.
Great news. IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Where the world congregates, also free to download on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. So let's get right in to the Pan-African Sports segment. We're going to start in the East Africa, where a story that I found particularly interesting was there's now three teams from Sudan will be allowed to compete in the Rwandan Premier League. So the Rwandan Football Association announced that three Sudanese clubs would have been given permission to participate in the East African Countries League this season. The three teams are Al Hilal, Al Merrikh, and Al Ahli Wad Madani. Right, these are actually three big teams in three big teams on the continent, really, not just Sudan, but in Sudan in particular, Al Hilal and Al Merrikh, between them, they have won all but four of the league titles in Sudan's league since the league has been created in 1965. So between those teams, between 1965 and 2023 or 2024, all the league titles minus four have gone to those teams. And Al Hilal, some of you might be familiar, that's the team that that our own Precious Petrus plays for, who last season played for Cape Town City, Brave Warriors player, one of our more promising footballers. I was going to say youngster, but I think he's around 24, 25 now. So had a promising season in Cape Town City, but various reasons caused him to move over to Sudan. Al Hilal also playing in the African Champions League this year. And interestingly enough, it's not the first time this has happened, particularly not with these sides, because last season, Al-Hilal and Al-Merrikh were allowed to play in the league in Mauritania, which is on the whole other side of the continent for them. And the reason for this being is that, well, these three teams, as I said, are big teams on the continent. And they wanted to continue playing football. And the reason they can't play football in Sudan at the moment is because Sudan has been in the midst of conflict between the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces since April 2023, with more than 150,000 people killed and about 12 million people uprooted, which in turn has created one of the largest displacement crises in the world. So some unfortunate scenes happening over in Sudan, which has resulted in three of their teams playing in a league that is not their home league. As I said, this has happened before as well. So, you know, that would be like if, for whatever reason, you know, we saw African Stars playing in the South African Premier League. So, let's say African Stars and Tigers go over to the South African Premier League because of unrest or any other particular reason preventing them from playing in Namibia. Something I didn't even know was possible, but apparently where there's a will, there's a way. Also, staying in Rwanda, the Rwandan Premier League is going to introduce VAR, video assistant refereeing, in their league. It'll be tested during the second round of the 2025-2026 season, with full implementation expected to come in the following season. So this prompted me to look up. I thought that VAR was fairly widely adopted on the continent, but apparently it's only Egypt, Morocco, and Zambia that have, and now Rwanda added to the list, that have really adopted VAR in their leagues and domestic cups. I thought South Africa would have been even the first one to do so, but according to various sources, it's not in South Africa yet. Which I'm not sure why. I'm quite surprised by that. Maybe you guys that are listening can call in and tell me why we don't have VAR in South Africa yet at the moment. But coming now back home on the Pan-African segment, an interesting story or interesting news was revealed that the FIFA president of FIFA will be coming to Namibia on the 11th of November. So Mr. Infantino and his Secretary General Matthias Grafström will be in Namibia on the 11th of November. This will be the first time that a FIFA president has visited or will visit the land of the brave, which I'm also quite surprised by, that that has never happened before in any capacity. But it'll be part of Infantino's quote-unquote African engagement tour, is what they're calling it, which will see him visit several CAF nations, all the nations that he hasn't visited yet during his tenure. So it'll be interesting to hear from Mr. Gianni on his thoughts on Namibia, on his thoughts on the landscape. And of course, Eagle FM will be there to cover that in as much detail as possible. And who knows, maybe he will even give us an opportunity to ask him a few questions when it comes to FIFA, when it comes to, you know, their relationship with CAF, and when it comes to FIFA and their relationship with Namibia as well. As you remember, 2 weeks ago now, maybe, we heard from the NFA's Director of Marketing and Sales, Mr. Isaac Imata, about the funds that FIFA has made available to Namibia to revamp the technical center. So I wonder, you know, if Gianni will have first-hand information on that, in regards to those plans. If you guys remember, the mayor of Windhoek was at the technical center so that they can essentially hand it over to the NFA, hand the land over to the NFA so that the NFA will be able to upgrade the center. And, you know, they spoke about plans to build hotels and restaurants and gyms and obviously revamp the turf itself, because if anyone has been to Soccer House or the technical center, you know that turf has been there for many, 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 many years. probably approaching 15 years. You know, when I was a kid, I remember when that center opened, we were, you know, our youth football teams were among the first teams that played on there, played many league matches, played many tournaments there. And so it has definitely run its course. And hopefully it'll be revamped soon for the community. And then league matches can take place there as well. So we won't have to rely on only the Independence Stadium. We won't have to rely on all the other different fields in Windhoek that quite frankly speaking, aren't in the best conditions as well. And speaking of the Independence Stadium, it has been reported that the construction of the Independence Stadium has been delayed because the feasibility study hasn't been completed yet. So we will keep waiting on that. No, maybe the Sam Nyoma Stadium will be complete before the Independence Stadium. Who knows? But time will tell. So staying in Namibian news, we also had our Namibian icons. That's Peter Shalulile and Dion Otto faced off against each other in the South African Premier League. That was yesterday. They played to a 1-1 draw, and our very own, the all-time PSL top goal scorer, the legendary Brave Warriors player that is Peter Shalulile, was on the score sheet for Sundowns in the match that ended 1-1 against Orlando Pirates. On the rugby side of things, the famous Springboks, the number one rugby team in the world, hammered Japan 61-7 in the first match of their European tour. They were playing in Wembley in England. And in the tour, they have Japan, which I just said that they played. They will play France, Italy, Ireland, and Wales as well to be part of this tour. So now before I go to that Bloomberg discussion that I just mentioned, Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, my son. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing this evening?
Yeah, I watched that game of yesterday, Shalulile and Otto on the opposite side.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting.
What did you find interesting about this match?
I found it more interesting because Shalulile almost... It was even scored 3-4.
Yeah.
Yeah, those chances that he really came in his way were supposed to be converted to goals. But anyway, we thank God he scored. He was very fortunate. Even the goal that he scored, he hit it, came back, he hit it again.
Yeah.
He went to a goal. And it was, you know, that kind of... courage, that determination, and the head that was missing there. Oh my God, this guy is just very talented. Maybe the talent has to be developed, as you say, because he has developed his own talent, and maybe people who have got him to solve, they really assisted him, facilitated his development.
Yeah.
But on the other side, he was also given a tough time. I think he picked up a yellow card yesterday. I think so.
Otto?
I can't remember there very well.
I can confirm that for you.
He's a good man. Good player. So this thing of sports and money, or are you saying sports, what do you say, the theme today, sports and money?
Oh, the question.
Yes.
The question is, can you guess how much
South Africa, that one I don't know. But there was something that you mentioned when you said yes, it's sport and money or that.
The business of sport, the business of sport. Yes.
Business of sport. It's obvious that the money is there in sport. In all code. And I've been wondering, even since yesterday, every time I tune on NBC, I thought maybe I could see. Maybe those other games that you played yesterday, I was thinking that maybe at least even one game or two that could be streamed on NBC. But I haven't seen anything.
Are you talking about Namibian Premier League?
Namibian Premier League. Why are they not even streaming even two or three? Or they think that they'll be regarded as discriminatory?
No, I'm not. Usually they have at least one match from the weekend they put on NBC2.
But since yesterday, even today when Chilasula is playing and all these things, no one was shown.
Yeah, it's possible that they decided not to show any.
Why? Is it that it does not make money?
Yeah, you know, there's usually money involved in those situations.
Yes, but they could just make money. You know, sometimes, see, you just have to sacrifice and take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Just put money there. Especially when this is the time for the month, this is the time the more teams are playing. Screen them.
Yeah.
So I had to watch the South African one, the one for Salorile, even though they are boys there.
Yeah.
But why can't you just sacrifice and put money here? Also, just a day or 2 days. Today, maybe this Sunday, you saw Shula Shula. The other Sunday, you can show the other games, the other team, the other one. Maybe in that rotational basis, they can also give some courage to the player, to the supporters and things like that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it gives so much discouragement. And not everybody has got able to go to the field. And they are all scattered. Some are playing in Shakati.
Mm.
Some are playing in wherever, in Ndanga, I don't know. But it leads us to show, you know,
yeah,
money. And then maybe mobilize for some support. This weekend, these teams are playing. Can you not mobilize support from private sector? Just for those games to be shown on weekend, for example. Not on everyday life. But I'm going to watch my game now.
Stop everything.
We are quickly going to a commercial break.
Too good to pass by. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 194.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilograms pasta polana, 109.99 Namibian dollars. 10 kilogram top score instant maize porridge, also just 109.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Rama 70% fat spread, just 27.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram U brand frozen mixed vegetables, just 36.99 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes. We all save at USave.
No.
Yes, you were saying?
I was just saying that at least they could do this show on a rotational basis. Maybe so that they don't, because of the more teams, they might not have the resources to show all the games. I mean, they can say, fine, today we show this other one. Next time, next Sunday or so, we show this other team. Things like that. And I think nobody will feel left out. But at least got to show us some games, you know?
Yeah.
Just like now, of course, we are checking this thing. If there is money to be procured, they can actually do so.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thank you very much, my boy.
Thank you for calling and thank you for listening.
Good.
Yes, thank you to that caller contribution. As I said, the question of the day for today is, can you guess or can you estimate the amount of money yearly that the South African sports industry brings in? The number in the studio is 0832888401 and we will be back on the other side of this short commercial break.
Has your phone ever taken a nosedive into the kitchen sink? Take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Fast, reliable, same-day approval. Apply for a quick cash loan. Call 90,000.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And before I play you the promised discussion from Bloomberg about the business of sport in Africa, I will run through some English Premier League scores for you. And so we had Manchester United playing to a 2-2 draw with Nottingham Forest. You had Arsenal continuing their great form by beating Burnley 2-0. Chelsea beat Tottenham 1-0. Liverpool got back to winning ways by beating Aston Villa 2-0. Manchester City is playing right now against Bournemouth. 2 minutes in and already down 1-0. Still plenty of time for the citizens, of course, to make a comeback. But, oh no, it seems now that the goal was disallowed. But yes, they are now playing against Bournemouth, currently happening right now. As I said, today we're only going to 7 o'clock, so let's get into this discussion from Bloomberg, and then I'll see you on the other side of this, and we'll wrap up our conversation today of our short edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I will see you on the other side of this, and we will chat some more about the business of Africa. But before I get into that, Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, my brother. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm alright too.
Yes. How would you like to contribute to the show today?
Yeah, first of all, man, I want to ask, how did the Chula Chula play?
Chula
Chula. The result of the day.
Chula Chula, they beat Tigers yesterday 2-0.
Yesterday win.
And today, I don't think the match is finished yet, but the last I saw.
Young African.
The last I saw, the score was. Oh, it's finished now. It's finished 0-0.
Oh, 0-0. They drew?
Yeah, they drew 0-0.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, 4 points for the weekend.
Four points. They were not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, my brother.
Yes.
You say we must estimate how much the South Africans are putting on.
Yeah, how much the industry is generating, the sports industry.
It's a lot. I think I can even say, like, maybe it's even going like a, maybe even 20 billion?
Close, but it's actually even more. It's actually even more.
It's even more?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah. But that's if you include everything, you know, your sports betting, your apparel, all those things.
All those, yeah.
Yeah.
And broadcasting light and what.
Yeah, exactly, all of that.
I see a lot.
So it's in the tens of billions.
And you see now, that is in the industry that we are neglecting in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to invest in. Yeah. But just imagine how our neighbors are doing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's hard time for Namibia. We are surrounded by people playing professional football,
mm-hmm.
especially soccer. But yeah, we just do it for a living for fun. I'm telling you, you cannot have a formal national team player who's just even like now living on hand by hand by Samaritan helping. The government is supposed to come up with something like these people can even put in the school curriculum where they are even coaching the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, after school, it's there with the kids, training them. I'm telling you, sports is supposed to do a lot in Namibia.
Yeah.
It can create even a job which we are complaining about today.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that we are not paying attention because we are focusing on something else.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we are having problems when it comes to even like housing and what. But seriously, we are not just neglecting the way we neglected the sport.
Yes.
Just imagine even like some sport court, even they don't have a field in the north. We're talking about even like rugby, you talk about even like what? Cricket. But these things are supposed to be all over around.
Yeah.
So people can participate in. And they be, like now, I think there's like a girl who are doing well in the tennis in Namibia. But just imagine, in the whole cathedral, there's no tennis court. What does it tell you?
Even at the youth center, there's nothing?
No, there's nothing. There's nothing at all.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. At the youth center, they're only having what? This soccer seven side.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're not even including. And that is, now it's even becoming home to those veterans who are demanding their money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are there now. They are the only hostaging those. Instead of us to focus, like now we are talking about rehabilitation of what? What this soccer house.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I think it's okay that we don't have to put a lot of effort. Now, I think, because that couple is very small. You cannot even host a match there. What yeah. they're supposed to do, maybe just to upgrade what the mat. Maybe they can even put a grass.
Mm.
And they can focus to rehabilitate this what do you call sport youth center. Because I'm telling you the sport youth center is big. And if they're just able to put him even this side, the other side also, a stint. And they can make it nice. We can even host it in, even like a what a Premier League game day.
Yeah, yeah, that's the plan yeah. that they have.
Yeah, but seriously, they need to do something.
Yeah.
They can do, even also, you can also including like, because I see there's a netball always there in the weekend.
Mm.
Now you can also have a, where you can have a tennis court, you can have a, what, a volleyball court, all those, because the area is big.
Yeah, it's
no,
true.
No, I think it's a hard time. It's a hard time, I think, our private institution to come on board. They need to be forced. Especially like in Brewery. Henneken is sponsoring the other side. They are sponsoring the what? UEFA Champions League. But here, they are not putting anything in our home ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the people need to be forced. Either if they are leaving, they can leave. We can come up with our own brewery. People are just like, I don't know already. There are people who are making money. NTCO is the same. Sometimes you don't need to sponsor these guys. You can just sponsor even like a t-shirt, which they're wearing the whole year that does.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day we have, like now I'm calling you. I'm losing you away. When it's finished, I'm putting away again. What I get from NTC? Nothing. Not even a cafone that you'll be a loyal customer. Get this cafone on a contract. When you're putting your, you don't miss your away, it means you are paying off your phone. Nothing. Yeah. You don't get anything from them. And the Paratus also, they need to come on board. Some of them, we are using their card also.
Mm.
Okay, let me end up with my brother.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
All right.
Have a good day. Yes, that was the caller contribution and his views there on various things. Like I said before I have to step out today, I would like to you guys to listen to this conversation from Bloomberg about the business of sport in Africa. So without further ado, let's hear what the gentleman had to say.
And more well-spoken than I am, but I'm stuck with this today, so let's... So sport is obviously a big business elsewhere in the world. Can it really be a big sport in Africa? Can it be a big business in Africa? Can sport be a big business in Africa?
I think so. I mean, it's very much my mantra. I took office 2.5 months ago, and off the back of the fact that I believe that sport is big business. We need to model ourselves, present ourselves to the global world. After all, the best athletes in the world invariably come from Africa. You will find them in different nationalities these days, whether playing for the national teams in Europe, or you see them in NBA finals. The potential in Africa is absolutely massive. So I do believe so.
But they're often extracted from Africa, aren't they? The athletes. And in some ways, it's akin to oil or other commodities. This is a precious natural resource, and it's being deployed elsewhere. Isn't one of the challenges here for the continent, and a continent that's very diverse, many different countries inside of it, is how do you retain that particular resource so its benefits, both financially and culturally, can grow at home?
I think you're absolutely right. I think the opportunities, I was speaking recently to Minister of Sport in a Southern African country, and she was espousing exactly the same, that economically, at a certain point, with that kind of talent, you'll have sportsmen having to move to other continents, to other countries, in order to see their real worth. And I think that's part of the challenge that we have here, is to encourage investment back on our continent, where you will have many, if we talk in rugby terms, there's the extraordinary player called The Beast, who's from Zimbabwe and played in the World Cup and is larger than life, and had to leave Zimbabwe to go through to South Africa to to show his greatness. And we have many up in North Africa who go across to France to play, and West Africa, where I come from. I played rugby in England for Saracens. So people go out of their home territories out. And I think the key is to bring the investment back in, into Africa, and for the rest of the world to understand that you can actually grow here, develop here, and the market is global rather than linked into Europe or America.
So let's talk about some of the hurdles around bringing investment back to Africa. We have the historical legacy. It's a mix of both expropriation, racism, a lack of interest, elitism, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a historical legacy to overcome, the roots of which are still present. And then there's just the current realities. Investors have other options. Investors may feel that they have other both regions and sports that are more profitable investments. So from where you sit, what has to happen structurally and culturally for this to take off here?
I think, Tim, you're absolutely right. Every knife is double-edged. And we look at the first part of what you said. It's absolutely true that there is a historical relationship that Africa has with the global world, where it's easier to take product rather than to invest, to create situations and models where it's not necessarily in the interests of Africa. And we have to change that. I think what I'm trying to do in my part of my period is asking for a major mindset change, a shift. So when I speak to my colleagues at World Rugby, I'm saying, you need to change the way that you look at us. I once came from the world of football, and we were all involved in petitioning FIFA and global bodies to give Africa more chance, rather than say, you're not good enough. When you get good enough, we'll give you the chance. Invest in us today. And we saw what happened in Qatar with this great country of Morocco and Cameroon and Ghana and the likes. But Morocco certainly sent the world on fire for people to understand that there are only players who have their qualities are born out of where they come from as opposed to elsewhere. If you have that investment and you can look at, if it is football, and you look at Hakimi and you look at, you know, the goalkeeper and the rest, we have the same in rugby. Mario Itoje today is playing for England, and he's recognized as one of the best in that field. We need a mindset.
Well, why don't the Mario Itojes of the world, or the Beast? Someday I hope someone calls me the Beast. Why don't both of them stay in Africa? What's preventing young athletes from finding a home in the sport, whether it's rugby, whether it's football, and of course, many African athletes go overseas for basketball and other U.S.-centric sports.
I think at the end of the day, it's all about money. The money that's invested is taken along. Like, yeah. Unfortunately, like everything, the money that's invested, players and families and people have a choice as to how they see the next 10, 20, 30 years of their life, especially sports that you have a shorter lifespan. We need to get the global bodies, if it's my sport, rugby, if it's others, and they have all on their own missions, to invest more. But we, as well, within Africa, need to re-examine ourselves, our policies on sports and education. Look, I had the honor of meeting an extraordinary gentleman yesterday here, and that was the Minister of Youth and Sports here in Morocco. And listening to his rollout plan, which involves education and sports, was something to behold.
And you've told me that, you know, there are more than 50 countries in Africa, and you have a very different experience every time you visit each one of them in terms of the kind of reception you get, the kind of collaboration you get. What makes Morocco or any other country that you see as a successful collaborator successful?
Well, I think the present future is really a marriage between governments, where there is a responsibility. If you take the values that rugby has, it has, I would say, better values than many other sports in terms of bringing up young people and letting them understand the values of respect, of teamwork, of collaboration, of patience, of other things like that. So the marriage with government first and foremost, and we need African governments to also invest in the games. We have some, my own country, I have an extraordinary president, and we're building a first purpose-built rugby stadium. It might seem a big deal, but it is.
Rwanda, notably, has done the same.
He is really championing the development of sport. We've had
those are governments that are populated by people with real expertise, and a focus on a partnership that achieves mutual goals, right? Both for the sport and for the locality.
Absolutely, you're right. I think there's also a realization that, look, if you've got young people involved in sports, they're not going to get up to mischief. I think it doesn't matter how hard things are economically.
If rugby makes you a better parent.
Rugby makes you, at least it does, I think. Very much so.
Yeah. From the outside, we've talked about this idea of money returning to the base. Mm. And that's true of any business in any locality. To what extent is wealth and value extracted? To what extent does it remain behind and create a full-blooded, robust local ecosystem? Can sport ever be a full-blown economic development tool in the way that other entertainment industries are or other types of industries are, in terms of not just being episodic? We have a great debate in the United States about big stadiums that are built with taxpayer funds, and then they sort of become one-offs and don't have longevity in terms of economic growth. Do you think that sports is a long-term economic development tool in Africa?
I think so, very much so. I think you just need to drive through Africa, as diverse as it is culturally and in every other way, and there'll be a young kid with a ball of some sort, more so than you will have anywhere else. It becomes very much part and parcel. And I think that when we look at development models, we should really look at the lifestyle and culture of the people, what they do, and sport very much is one. Just digressing a little bit, I was so proud recently in the Champions League final, not only to see the plethora of Africans there, but to see Burna Boy as the main musician afterwards and everybody going up to them. So we do have musicians, if we move laterally, who are global today, who have great pride in being Africans and coming back home. We need to press that button of investment that says, not only do you give opportunity to Africans in Africa, but then you have other industries that will build up from it, other growth areas that will build up from it, which will benefit everybody at the end of the day.
There's been a number of demographic studies that already indicate that by 2100, 40% of the world's population will be in Africa. Do you think that institutionally Africans have enough voice commensurate with both their future potential and the present realities of what's on the ground here, specifically in sports?
No, I don't. I think there are battles within battles. The battle of playing sport. I've always said, as a business person, you need to win off the field in order to win on the field. So when I get involved in any form of sports development, it's getting it right off the field. And in this case, it's taking on governments. It's taking on our global bodies. It's seeking greater equity. I mean, the fact that Africa, for example, with 50-odd countries and 30-something all affiliated to Rugby Africa have two votes at World Rugby, when individual developed countries have three apiece, means that you can't force them to equity in terms of investment, in terms of whatever. You have to find different means of getting there. So we need to fight battles off the field, not only with global bodies and with our governments, with lending agencies. We're going to the World Cup in France this year, which is the second biggest sporting event in the world after the FIFA World Cup football. Rugby is the second biggest sport in the world. And
I did not know that till we had breakfast this morning.
Absolutely.
I had other biases out of my ignorance. Yeah.
And the fact that if you take in Europe and in the West, rugby is played mainly amongst elite and better educated and the custodians of capital and business and money. I see a few smiling faces. I know they're rugby players, ex-ones there. If I see them limping afterwards, I know they're rugby players. I know. I'll definitely know. So surely, since they control so much capital, it shouldn't be so difficult as they look to invest in Africa and bring about change.
There are some practical things investors will look for. For example, any sport rides on the back of a strong broadcasting presence, an ability for people to watch a sport on television. It's as important a partnership as government or capital or talent. That is another hurdle the continent as a whole has to overcome, isn't it? Just building out an accessible, affordable broadcasting network.
No, you're absolutely right. The dogged history, which I don't like going back to, of the fact of who are we and where we came from is a reality, because we don't have one Sky TV that covers the whole continent of Africa. Francophone Africa thinks in one way, Anglophone Africa thinks in one way, and North Africa also operates differently. So when you start looking at continental models, it becomes an issue. One of the things that we are doing in coming into power is looking first at a complete constitutional review to empower us to move forward, checking our own internal governance systems. But it's also looking and saying we should need to split Africa eastward, north-south. It's far easier to raise money when you look and say in West Africa there are 400 or 450-odd million people.
West Africa alone is a bigger market than the United States,
absolutely.
Potentially.
So how do we then make that work into one model? How do we then look at the East African bloc, who are the premiers of rugby, Kenya, Zimbabwe, Uganda, and the likes? How do we deal up here with North Africa as a separate entity? And I think when it is we start doing that, then we can start broaching the issue of TV rights and the rest, which is so easy in Europe and America to sign off because you've got one carrier. I mean, here we've been dealing with, and we've signed partnerships with APIO, and I'm very happy about that because they are a continental rebroadcaster of news. But it is very much, we stream a lot of the things and we're taking a slightly different approach. You then come back to governments and state broadcasters and what it is they can put out of the same. But the commercial value of where they are is not quite there. But then there's the opportunity for the people with money to see that opportunity.
To think long term.
To look medium
to
long term.
Did we get an answer from our poll? I don't see one up yet.
I haven't voted yet. So
you haven't voted. So we'll wait for your vote to come in. And we've run out of time. Herbert Mensah, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Tim.
That was Herbert Mensah, the president of Rugby Africa. He is originally from Ghana, giving some interesting insights in regard to the business of sport in Africa, in the continent. I found particularly interesting how we broke up the sort of the segments of the continent, you know, west, east, north, and south, which really can be split up into their own markets, like the moderator suggested. But one thing that he said about the broadcasters, about how you don't have like one broadcaster essentially for the whole continent, so that makes things difficult. That's one I kind of disagree with, really. Because I mean, we have the whole continent really watches our football on SuperSport. So I think in terms of getting rights for, you know, our various local leagues, you know, SuperSport does carry, there's certain leagues from certain countries that you can see on SuperSport, but there's things that they could do as a broadcaster to widen that, you know, for example, all the West African leagues, I know this technology exists, they could do that, you know, if you live in West Africa, your decoder provides your geolocation and all of that, then you will have access to all the West African leagues. If you live in East Africa, you have access to all the East African leagues. If you live in Southern Africa, you have access to all the Southern African leagues and so on for the different parts of the continent. Or just a channel even for all the different local leagues, I think would be a simple solution to that. But I don't have much time left today. I must hand over the mic in just a few minutes to Yep, who is outside now, to Tati Kaluma, and our president, our guest, excuse me, our guest, the president of the IPC, will be chatting with Tati Kaluma for the next 2 or so hours. So stay tuned for that. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone, a little shorter than usual. But don't forget, tomorrow is Monday, meaning that the Villager e-paper will be published. And if you'd like to become a subscriber and you aren't already, simply send us a WhatsApp message. Very important that it's on WhatsApp and that you save the following number, which is 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Simply send a WhatsApp message that you want to become a subscriber. And then every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will get it pinged directly to your inbox. If you'd like to receive it via email as well, include your email address and we will send it to you via email again. Will cost you a total of $0 and zero Namibian cents. So if you'd like to gain access to the Villager for your latest and greatest in business and economic news, get the Villager, our e-paper, interactive e-paper, you know, meaning some of the things that you see in there you can click on. You'll be directed to various other pages. So yes, this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I will see you next week, Sunday, for a full edition of the Eagle Sports Zone.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.